Morning Watch, Experiencing, Enjoying, and Expressing Christ. 1. Week 10. Glory and Glorification as Revealed in the Gospel of John. Monday, Related Verses. Romans 3, verses 23 through 25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation place through faith in His blood for the demonstrating of His righteousness, and that in His forbearance God passed over the sins that had previously occurred. Acts 7, verse 2. And He said, Men, brothers and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us all things which relate to life and godliness through the full knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and virtue. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, He who has called you into His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself perfect, establish, strengthen, and ground you. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the wisdom which has been hidden, which God predestined before the ages for our glory. Romans 8, verse 21. In hope that the creation itself will also be freed from the slavery of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Related reading. Man was made by God in His image, that man might express Him for His glory. But man has sinned and has contradicted the holiness and righteousness of God. Instead of expressing God, man expresses sin and his sinful self. Hence, man falls short of God's glory. This falling short of God's glory and expression is sin. Sinners are not only under the requirements of God's holiness and righteousness, but also under the demand of God's glory. All have offended God's holy being and have broken God's righteous law, and all are short of God's glory. Therefore, all are under God's condemnation. The propitiation place is typified in Exodus 25, verse 17, by the sin-covering lid on the ark. The ark was the place where God met with people. In the ark was the law of the Ten Commandments, which by its holy and righteous requirement exposed and condemned the sins of the people who came to contact God. However, by the lid of the ark, with the expiating blood sprinkled on it, on the day of expiation, the entire situation on the sinner's side was fully covered. Therefore, upon the sin-covering lid, God could meet with the people who broke His righteous law, and He could do this without, governmentally, any contradiction to His righteousness, even under the observing of the cherubim that bore His glory and overshadowed the lid of the ark. This is a prefigure of Christ as the Lamb of God, taking away the sin that caused man to have a problem with God, thus satisfying all the requirements of God's holiness, righteousness, and glory, and appeasing the relationship between man and God. The glory of the God who appeared to Abraham might have been visible glory, as when the cloud and the fire appeared to Israel and filled the tabernacle and the temple. It was the God of such glory who appeared to Abraham and called him. His glory was a great attraction to him. It separated, sanctified, him from the world unto God, and was a great encouragement and strength that enabled him to follow God. In the same principle, God calls the New Testament believers by his invisible glory. A marvelous attribute of God is glory. Acts 7 verse 55 says, "Looking intently into heaven, he, Stephen, saw the glory of God." Glory is the expression of God, God expressed in splendor. God's glory was a great attraction to Abraham, separating him from the world unto God. God's glory was also a great encouragement and strength, enabling Abraham to follow God. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says that God has called us to, or by, his own glory. Furthermore, 1 Peter 5 verse 10 says that God has called us into his eternal glory. According to 2 Timothy 2 verse 10, God's salvation is with eternal glory. This indicates that eternal glory is the ultimate goal of God's salvation. God's salvation leads us into his glory. In the Gospel of John, we read that the Word, who is God, became flesh and tabernacled among us, and that we beheld his glory. John 1 verse 18 goes on to say, "No one has ever seen God. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." There is glory in the declaration of God. When we see God, we see glory. We have been ordained for God's glory and called to it.